Yeah, you need an initial hole. I don't care if my pants get wet. Where's the lid?
Welcome in to Keep It About Ball, bitch.
Just a splash.
Shitbag lizard people.
Yeah, bro, QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, yeah, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jennifer?
All right, welcome into an episode of Keep It About Ball. I'm Zach. That other guy there is Brady. How's it going, mate?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Enjoying this cooler weather and ready for some football. Just yes, a day sir. Away.
Yes, sir. On the eve of away. The start of the NFL season. So, man, I've been pumped all week, and it's just intensified today. So, I'm
absolutely.
Ready.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Can't believe some people don't have their fantasy lineup set yet. That's crazy to me. But that's here nor there. Today, we're not really talking about fantasy. We do got a lot to cover, so we should probably jump right in. We're going to go through each division, pick the winners, the losers, the in-betweens, and then we're going to make our week one picks. I was really excited to have Reed on here, too, because normally I learn a lot from both of you guys during these kind of conversations at the beginning of the year, because you guys follow, like, a lot of the offensive linemen and defenders a lot more than I do, and know who they are a little bit more than I do. But either way, still glad to get some perspective. Hopefully, Reed can make an art at some point. That retard is locked out of his house right now. what a dumb shit. Well, everybody else always goes east to west. So let's go west to east here, and we'll start with the AFC West. Do you have a hot take on the division? Like maybe the Chiefs not winning it?
As much as I'd like to say that, I don't. I think the Chiefs are going to be better this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that means they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think getting their weapons back towards the end of the year after Rashee Rice's suspension, I think they're going to be humming going into the playoffs. So maybe their record won't show that they're a better team than last year, but I think when they're healthy and all there, I think we'll see that they're better. And I hate to say that because fuck the Chiefs. But
yeah, I agree. Let me get their schedule pulled up here. I don't know where my – oh, there it is. Here
they open Friday in Brazil, don't they?
Yeah, against
the Chargers, right?
Yeah. So let's get a look at their schedule because – I didn't really have any hot takes in all of this. My other hot take, I don't really feel like is a hot take. But I guess my order for the division, I think this year is the Broncos, Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. And I think it's really top heavy with the Broncos and the Chiefs both being pretty good. But like, did the Chiefs do anything to their defense? Did it get any better at all this offseason? I'm not really aware of any major signings, and
you know, I don't
they were
think
kind they of
shaky
lost. At times.
Yeah, I don't think they lost anyone that's significant, but as far as their draft goes, I don't think they took one with their first pick. I think they took
offensive lineman.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
they so took I think that kid I that's think starting to tackle.
Yeah, I think their offense is going to be better, and their defense might dip a little bit. But you're really high on the Broncos, huh?
I wouldn't say super high. I think the Chiefs record, I guess kind of. They were pretty hot at the end of last year, and just it's still an elite defense. Pat Surtain's locking down pretty much any receiver in the league. And their offense was really – as much as I hate to say it again with you, or I guess you were talking about the Chiefs, but I know you don't like the Broncos either. I hate to say it, but the offense was ascending and starting to hum last year and was looking pretty good. And I think Bo Nix might have the best case to avoid the sophomore slump, maybe, just because he's got more weapons, still has a really good coach. Where, you know, Drake May, it's still kind of shaky there. The weapons there, new coach, Jaden Daniels, the weapons, the contract stuff with Terry McLaurin and then Caleb Williams. It's hard to have a sophomore slump if you weren't really good the first year either. So
yeah.
I guess we can exclude him from that, but
unless he just absolutely bombs, but
yeah. Like I didn't really go through and do records or anything like that. I didn't get that deep into it this year. But like the Chiefs, if you think about what was their record last year, it was like 11-6, right? Or was it 12 and 5?
I think they won 12 games. Was I could be wrong. Five? I want to say it was 12 and 5.
It was probably 12 and 5. How many of those games were like super close to where, like, if the refs, you know, as a lot of us like to say last year, maybe don't bail them out in a couple of those games, you lose a couple of those.
So you're banking on that not happening again this year? Because I wouldn't.
No, not really, because I think their offense is going to be good enough that they're not really going to be in the games they win. They're not going to be in situations like that.
Not relying on their defense so much.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be able to rely on their defense this year. The Broncos offense, like I said, is going to be really good. I think the Chargers offense, who I had in third place, and I put just kind of little bullet points next to them. And the only thing I put for the Chargers was it's just the Chargers. And I think that's probably why they're third place in the division.
You know, it's crazy. That division is nuts with their head coaches. Pete Carroll's the head coach of the Raiders now.
Yeah.
And honestly, would I be shocked if the Chiefs, you know, took a step back and someone else won the division? No, just because it tends to happen after, you know, so much success, you're going to have like a down year. But what do you think of the Raiders? You think they're going to make any noise in that division? You think they're just firmly in last place?
I had them pretty firmly in last place. They might be a little like a scrappy bad team, like in some games until late.
I think they win maybe 7 or 8 games. But yeah.
I think that's probably more than I was thinking. I was thinking like a scrappy, like 5-win team.
Okay.
Maybe they like field goal or a call away from being like a 7-win team or something like that. But yeah, they got some dudes. They got some dudes on the roster for sure.
They do.
Raiders do.
They do.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Last thing I'll say about the Chiefs though is like, as far as just like predicting like who's going to win the division, I think those first 6 games, and I pulled up the schedule. Let's look at it. It's the Chargers, Philly, the Giants, Baltimore, Jacksonville, and Detroit the first 6 weeks without Rashee Rice. Some of those are some tough games. That's
how many are those Chargers?
Three of them are on. Okay, so it's at the Chargers, home against
which
Philly.
Is in Brazil, basically. It's a new team.
Okay. Oh yeah, facts. You're right. Yeah.
So
home against Philly, at the Giants, home against Baltimore, at Jacksonville, and then home against Detroit. So they are
those
home
are
against the three best teams.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you wanted to be,
but those
home
are still very losable games.
Very
and
much
that's a tough
so.
And Baltimore's defense, I think, is going to be really good this year. We'll get to that later. But without Rashee Rice, that could be tough. And I don't know if Travis Kelce losing this weight is a good thing. It could be. I mean, he could be quicker, more agile. He could also get knocked around a little easier.
I think this is his last year.
Yeah, and I don't know how focused he's going to be on football, honestly.
I think he's been pretty 1 foot out the door since the whole Taylor Swift saga.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that's fair. I think that's probably pretty good there on the AFC West. Did you have a particular order?
I think we have the same, just flip-flop the Chiefs and Broncos.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's go to the NFC West. And I feel like this division was pretty tough to kind of decide on. I feel like it's kind of up for grabs this year. What are you thinking of this division?
NFC West?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I think it's going to be between the Rams and 49ers. Depending on the health of Matt Stafford. If I'm guaranteed Matthew Stafford being healthy all year to the Rams, but also if McCaffrey's healthy and he's balling out again, I mean, it's going to be close. I don't really see Seattle as much of a threat. I think they might be a scrappy team, but, you know, I'm not trying to hate on Sam Darnold because I actually like Sam Darnold, but that's a big unknown in that offense for sure.
Yeah.
And the Cardinals, I feel like they're like a year away from being competing. I think they're headed in the right direction. Jonathan Gannon's got a good defense. They do some crazy stuff.
They brought in some guys too.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if, you know, let's say the Rams, Matthew Stafford isn't healthy. They have a shit year. And then the Cardinals are actually you know. I know I'm kind of sound like homerish because I'm a big Kyler Murray fan.
I mean, you're in a safe space. Reading here.
Yeah.
We love Kyler Murray.
I mean, dude, he's kind of had the shit out of the stick the last couple of years, but I think now he's healthy. He's getting acclimated to the system. I think.
Yep.
I think they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to win the division. I guess Matthew Stafford's injury scares me. I'd probably have to go with the 49ers right now, just based off that.
Yeah, they are probably the safest bet to win the division.
Yeah.
But I actually forgot about this because I tried to have all my hot takes at the listed at the top, so I knew how many I had. I forgot about this. This is probably a hotter take than my last one. And that's I think the Cardinals are going to win the division.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sure. They spent some money on the defense, which especially later in the year last year wasn't. I don't know how to word this because I don't want to like say they were good, but like trending in the right direction, I guess. And they spent some money on a pass. Josh Sweat. They added somebody else into that front seven, and I can't remember who it was.
I can't either.
They spent some money on someone else, and they got a guy in the secondary. I'm blanking on his name too.
Is it what Buda Baker still? He's still
maybe,
there.
Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking. Yeah,
I should probably get more knowledgeable with that team because I think that defense is actually trending up. And from what I've heard from other podcasts, I've just listened to that they actually scheme some crazy stuff. And
yeah, I've heard that too.
They're actually pretty legit.
I think that's actually, now that you're saying that, it's kind of clicking. We might have heard it on, I don't know if it was the same podcast or not, because I don't remember what podcast.
But somebody did a preseason game that was like, what the hell? Like, it was kind of like Brian Flores-esque, you know?
Okay. But yeah, I remember during the offseason, I think someone said something like, maybe that's what I was trying, how I was trying to phrase it earlier. Like, they weren't like necessarily good, but like really creative. Throw you a lot of different looks and do some different stuff. So now they've added a little bit of talent in there. I think that'll take a step forward. And like you were saying about Kyler, I think he bounces back. I think that he has this fuck you tour this year, says I'm back. He already said in the offseason he wants to run more this year. And everyone, fantasy football players made it sound like MHJ was a bust last year. MHJ had an awesome rookie year.
He did. He's just overshadowed by Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers.
Yeah, and they just had, like, historic rookie years. Like,
honestly, I think he's going to firmly plant his foot into I'm an elite receiver. And I think he will be. There's no way he's not going to be. Like, he's freakishly athletic.
Breakout, kind of.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He was almost at 1,000 yards last year. Pretty close.
Yeah.
Like, for a rookie, I mean.
Caught, like, I think it was like, here, I'll pull him up real quick.
I mean, you can't ask for Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase seasons right off the bat all the time, you know?
Yeah, that's outlier stuff.
It's not realistic.
62 catches, 885 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Dude. So next year he's probably going to be 90-plus catches, probably 1,200, 1,300 yards, and 10 tutties.
I would say somewhere in that range, yeah. I'd probably go a little less on the yards, probably like 1,000 to 1,100. But even still, I mean, I think what you said is definitely within the realm of possibility. And it's hard to – I mean – Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas made it look easy, but when you come into an offense and you're the only receiver to throw the ball to, Michael Wilson is the next best guy in that room, and Greg Dortch was wide receiver 3 on that team last year.
It's pretty
easy for a defense to just say, all right, we're going to worry about you and Trey McBride. You know, I don't know. But, pretty high on the Cardinals this year. And then I got the 49ers and then the Rams. And then the Seahawks in last. I don't really think Stafford's going to stay real healthy this year. It's back stuff. And just as old as he is and as lingering as it's been, I think he's had back stuff before, hasn't he?
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah. And I'm kind of out there, but I can't – I like their defense too, but I can't go low enough to put them in last just because I think Sean McVay's too good.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to still be competitive with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Absolutely. probably still like right on the fringe of the playoffs, like as a wild card, even in like third place in their division.
8-9 wins probably. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And then the Seahawks, just like, I don't, like you said, I don't buy the offense. I don't think Sam Darnold's going to do it. The idea of Jalen Milroe is nice, but you got to see that happen first.
Yeah, and he's still a project right now. So
absolutely, 100%. That literally took the words right off my note, off my notes right there.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to real quickly. What order did you have? You had the 49ers.
I mean, I had 49ers, Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks.
Okay.
But it's going to be really, really tight between those top three. I really think it might even be between a game or two.
Yeah.
So a good team out of that division is going to get left out.
Absolutely. And the Seahawks could be a pain in the butt too, honestly. Next up, we'll do both the South divisions of football. While I was getting this ready for all this, I was thinking, it's pretty funny how, like, football in the South, like, they own it through, like, youth football, high school football, college football. Yep. South dominates it everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Until you get to the pros, and it's, like, perennially the worst two divisions in football for, like, the last, like, 3 to 4 decades.
That's kind of crazy you put it that way. But, yeah, it's always been, like, not even just recently. They've always just been ass divisions, dude.
As long as I've been alive, that's for, like, sure.
Don't get me wrong, I'm as big of a Peyton Manning fan as anyone, but it was pretty, awesome.
It was just up the on, Colts.
Yeah, you get to beat up on the Texans, the Jaguars, and the
Texans, Jaguars, and I got it right here. Oh no, I didn't type their name out. Damn it.
Texans, Jaguars, Colts, and
Titans.
Jeez, I feel like Titans. Titans. Oh yeah, yeah, that's how irrelevant.
Obviously,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that one,
everybody loves to pile on, like, ooh, Tom Brady, AFC East. I'm sorry, the AFC East was a lot better than Peyton Manning's AFC South. Let's get real.
It's some comparable, of those Jets
teams,
but yeah. AFC East was, I would give the edge as far as tougher, because you're also playing in tougher climate.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, people love to bash on Brady about that. Like, Peyton wasn't exactly battling in the trenches either.
Yeah.
But anyways, for this division, the AFC South, I have the Texans, the Jaguars, the Titans, and the Colts. I'm skeptical that you have it the same, because you are a resident CJ Stroud hater of the podcast.
Sure am. I'll admit that. I mean, I won't get too far into it, but yeah, I really worry about their offensive line, man. He might get killed this year.
Yeah, that's fair. Who's their offensive line coach?
Well, I don't know who their offensive line coach is, but Ed Ingram, who played for the Vikings last year, last couple of years as a draft, he is atrocious. He's a starting guard on their line. I think they traded away Laramie Tunsil. That's who it was.
But it sounded like he was an issue and kind of a problem on the line last year for them.
Yeah. What did they replace with Cam Robinson? Like, is that who they replaced him with?
I'll pull it up and look up their depth chart. But what I was hearing, at least during the offseason, and of course it's just reports, and you never know how much of, like, stuff like this is true, but it was that Laramie Tunsil was like just kind of – he wasn't really following assignments. He was just kind of doing whatever and not – like if C.J. Stroud or the center called something out, like a blitz or something, he wouldn't really, like, adjust to it. He would just stick with whatever he was going to do and just kind of – this is locker room stuff they were saying, but, again, who knows how much of that is true. It might be true. It might not be. You never know.
I mean, he's probably like, I'm tired of playing with this bust-ass quarterback, so I'm just going to be
Oh, man. I wish Reed was here so he could fucking throw
Yeah, he just gets so triggered about that. Mainly, I'm not so much of a hater. I just love to, like, stir the pot with Reed. But I also am not a big CJ Stroud guy. I really think that he's an above average starting quarterback, and I think he'll flame out sooner rather than later.
So it looks like they did replace him with Cam Robinson, but he is listed as the second string left tackle right now behind Ariante Ursery.
Oh, that's their draft pick. Is he a right tackle then? Is he playing a right tackle?
He's on the depth chart, according to ESPN. He's listed at left tackle. Right tackle right now is Titus Howard.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think they got to be paying him a lot of money, too, just to be a bench player.
Yeah, well, that's he's also listed as questionable. Of course, it's just ESPN depth chart, so it doesn't really say what it is, but that could be it. And then Lakin Tomlinson, Jake Andrews, and Ed Ingram, center and guards. Which one was it you said that played for the Vikings?
Ed Ingram.
Yeah.
He's really bad. Really, really, really bad. That concerns me.
Yeah, and I think it's also really fair to be concerned about the running backs. It's a really gross room. I am so beyond out on Nick Chubb. Like, I can't believe he's on the roster still, to be totally honest. And why they haven't traded Damian Pierce for a 6th-round pick yet is crazy.
And it's a poorly ran organization. You're going to have no run game, a poor offensive line, asking CD Stroud to just drop back and throw it to Nico Collins and a bunch of question marks.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. If Woody Marks isn't good, what round was he drafted in? 4th? Or 6th?
I want to say a 6th-round pick.
6th? So it's totally possible. It was a good draft class, so maybe he would normally be like a 5th-round talent. Not that that's
much better. It was deep at running back.
But if he's not real good, Dari Ungabale could be like, not to get fantasy into this, but like could be like the RB1 for the Texans, like for fantasy purposes. He's like 32.
Well, yeah, for this year, I think if they're that bad, they probably draft running back pretty high next year.
Oh, I think they kind of have to either way.
There's a couple of them coming out that are pretty damn good, but we won't get into that.
Joe Mixon gets healthy and is good to go. He'll be getting up there at that point and probably at splitting duty age. He's like 26,
he's close
I think.
To 30, isn't he?
I think he's 26.
He's that Google young still? Now. I thought he was like 28, 29.
I could be wrong. Joe Mixon, 29, you're right.
I was going to say, it seems like forever he played at Oklahoma.
Yeah. Yeah, so 29. So, yeah, they definitely probably drafting a running back. It's just actually kind of surprised they didn't draft one before Marks, looking back at it with hindsight now. But
maybe they had other holes to fill for sure, but yeah.
Yeah, I did not think we were going to talk very much about the Texans.
Yeah.
I didn't think there was that much to say, but I guess it was. But I still have them winning the division because I still think the defense is going to be good. And at the end of the day, I think it's probably the best QB and coach combo in the division. So between those two, I had to go with that. And then I got the Jags in 2nd place. I think they take like an actual step forward, like maybe even a wild card team. It's certainly in the hunt. But I think a lot of clowns like online, like on X, will be like, oh, if they don't win a playoff game, like Travis Hunter buzz. Jacksonville sucks, Trevor Lawrence, blah, 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 and just like, I don't know. But I don't really have them winning the division because I still don't think the defense is going to be really good. And they're just like an injury tour away, I feel like, from being dog shit again. Like, they have to stay healthy, I feel like.
God, this division's so up in the air.
Yeah, sure.
Call me nutty.
Let's hear it. Let's get a take out there.
Daniel Jones leads the Colts to the playoffs.
Let's go. I'm here for it.
Yeah. They win the division at like fucking 9 or 10 wins. This division is going to be so bad that they're going to just by the skin of their teeth. Well, I guess win the division, but like just one of those are like, wow. a 9 and 8 win team.
I think that's a really good hot take.
Yeah.
That's a really good hot take.
They finished 9-8. I think Houston's probably 8-9, and then Jacksonville's like 7-10, and then Tennessee finishes last. Yeah.
I love it.
Daniel Jones.
Yeah. I had the Colts in last, honestly.
No shit.
I'm just, Yeah, I'm just not buying it. Like, I think you're buying that Daniel Jones Kool-Aid. I remember at the beginning of last year, I was buying. Then he got tossed by the Vikings while we were all sitting in your living room. I was like, shit.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, it's so up in the air. So, like, why not? Why not the Colts? Maybe Daniel Jones gets some of that 2022 magic. And
sure. Yeah. And to play devil's advocate for your take, I will say, if there was, like, a group of, like, weapons that Daniel Jones would probably go to and maybe thrive, I think it's Indy. Michael Pittman, good short yardage catch guy, get it right up hand, good first read catch and, you know, make a move after he has the ball in his hands. Josh Downs can do the same thing. He can also catch the occasional deep bomb. Alec Pierce can catch the occasional deep bomb. Danny don't mind slinging it just on a occasional streak route here and there. But other than that, he's staying, like, 2 yards from the line of scrimmage.
Tyler Warren, that rookie tight end, and he's going to be able to hand it off to Jonathan Taylor. I mean, it's not a bad situation.
It's not, and
if he doesn't wreck the ship, I mean, I think it might happen.
It's possible. I don't know how good their defense will be this year, though.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Might be good. Is their coach Shane Steichen?
Yeah.
He's pretty solid.
Yeah,
I had them last. I'm not gonna buy the Daniel Jones hype this year. And of course, I've been buying it every year since Theory had it. This is gonna be the year he does it that I'm not buying it. I've been offered Daniel Jones in a couple leagues and finally had the gall to turn it down this year. But I think the Titans in third, I think they like are kind of good, not good, but like take a step forward, but still not good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And probably a second half team, because I'm going to pull their schedule up. If I remember right, they have a fucking shit show of a schedule to start the year.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Let's see. Denver, the Rams, the Colts, Houston, Arizona, and the Raiders. Then that's the first 6 weeks. Then they got the Colts and the Chargers. That's not too bad. But it's not favorable either. The start against Denver could be pretty bad. That might even set them back a week or two with rookie quarterback. Yeah. All righty. Well, don't get too excited, but up next is the NFC South. All right. I got the Bucks, then the Panthers, then the Falcons, then the Saints. For the Bucks, they got the most talent. They got a pretty solid coach. And just a lot of smart dudes and a lot of continuity, a good mix of young dudes, a good mix of veterans. And then the Panthers, honestly, I feel like they're just kind of a pretty average team in a really bad division. So I feel like they'll flirt with the wild card, but not be like a for real wild card contender. But they're headed in the right direction. I think I like Canales, the coach. He's a good coach. And they're headed the right way, but the defense still isn't going to be very good. And I don't think Bryce Young's still good, still not good enough to overcome that yet.
Probably.
And then the Falcons, I'm not going to lie, I almost put them in last, honestly. I'm just so far out on the Falcons. Their defense is going to be ass. Mooney, wide receiver two, he's already got, I think it's a hamstring he's been working with all through training camp. Mm-hmm. And just barely healthy in time. I'm not counting on that. So teams are going to be able to hone in on Bijan and Drake London. I think there's a chance Kirk starts some games this year. I think this is not my take, but I'm buying into it. I think it was, and I don't want to say it was him, but I think it was Nate Tice that said this. I don't want to say it was for sure. It could have been someone from Fantasy Football Today, but, they said that they kind of thought it's a bit of a red flag that like Penix didn't really play in the preseason. Like, why are you hiding him? Like, normally they want to get young guys like that, like a rep or two, and like go see what you got, get you ready for the preseason, unless you're like trying to hide something.
They may be just confident that he's just ready to go.
That's possible too.
Yeah. I'm not saying that is the case. Like, there's like, hey, we've seen a couple games last year. I don't know. I didn't follow any Falcons training camp. Maybe he was awesome in training camp. And I'm like, hey, why risk getting injured? Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. I think they're second in this division, though. I think the Panthers are heading in the right direction, but the Bucks are going to win this division.
Yeah,
I don't think it'll be close.
Easy money.
Baker's a good quarterback. He's got good weapons. Todd Bowles is a hell of a good coach, so he's going to have his defense ready to go. Yeah, they're going to be. They're always a problem. So.
Yep. Ever since Tom Brady went and fixed him. No, they were a problem before that, even in the James days. Yeah. They were still.
They were heading in the right direction, and Tom Brady was just.
Yeah. Carry on top. Yeah. Absolutely. So you had the.
So I got the Bucks,
Falcons, Panthers, then the Saints.
Yeah, Saints might be the worst team in football.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Low key, I'm kind of really glad that trade in HDP that Jonathan wanted Kamara back. I'm kind of happy. And like looking back at it now, I think I'd rather not have Kamara. I don't remember. Yeah. I don't even remember what I did with the 107. I'd have to go look, but I think I. Probably going to be happier with that than I will be with
Travion Henderson. Like
yeah, that's right. Yeah, I used it to get to Travion at the 104. Yeah. That's right.
Oh, I'd rather have him than Kamara at this point in the dynasty.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd just rather have him in redraft.
Yeah, it'd be close, but I'd agree with you.
Yeah, definitely close still. I don't want to get too hyped on him, but Yeah, the Saints are going to be pretty bad. That's why I couldn't put the Falcons in last, just because the Saints, as bad as I think the Falcons' defense will be, the Saints' defense is going to be worse.
Oh, God. Yeah. They won Arch Manning. Well, probably not actually anymore, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. That shit. Yeah. Love to see it.
Low key, though, I think if whoever plays quarterback is average, the offense could be okay. I think it could be okay. Yeah, Rashid Shaheed is a damn good receiver. Chris Olave is good too.
If he stays healthy,
I don't think Kamara is for nothing this year. I still think he has something to offer to a team. They got
Spencer Rattler,
drafted Neal. Who did they just trade for? Oh, they signed Andre Kestemi. I think they signed.
They re-signed Brandon Cooks.
Oh, yeah, that's electric. But, take them first. They're taking the division.
Bringing the home back.
Yes, sir.
Squad back home.
Oh, man, isn't it beautiful?
I just hate Spencer Rattler. I can't with that douche. Ever since he played at Oklahoma, I can't, man. I don't buy into it. He's going to flame out, and I'm here to see it. I'm here for it. Fuck that guy.
Oh,
and fuck
man.
The Saints. Sorry, I had to get that in.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. Let it out, bud. But I kind of like that his style. I don't know how good he is, but I like what his style is for, like, that offense. Like, he likes to sling it downfield. Like, Shaheed can get downfield, and that opens it up for Olave to be open underneath.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Kellen Moore isn't a genius, but he's not stupid either.
I shouldn't say I'm here for it. I was kind of more or less like hoping like Tyler, what the fuck's his name? Shook.
As far as I know, Shook something like
would
that.
Would have panned out. And I honestly kind of hope they're relevant because I do have Chris Olave. So it would be nice to see him bounce back and have an okay year.
Yeah. No, it's that. It's yeah. Rashid. The big play Rashid. He's getting all the tutties.
Now he's gonna break his leg again.
Mr. Concussion. Yeah.
Yeah, they're both gonna be out by week three.
Bro probably doesn't even remember last season.
They're gonna be hanging out in the hospital bed sharing snacks.
Yeah,
and
Mason
machine.
Tipton's gonna be wide receiver one of that offense. We're both shit out of luck.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a bit of a better division, the AFC North. I did think this division was really easy to predict. Do you feel like that too?
100%.
Yeah, just Ravens, Bengals, Steelers, Browns. I mean,
pretty close.
The first two is the tough part, obviously.
The first two?
I feel like, anyways. Yeah, the Ravens and the Bengals.
Really?
That was the tough part for me. Yeah.
Oh, I don't. I think the Bengals are going to be bad this year.
Like how bad?
Like 7-8 wins bad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, dude, their defense is horrible. They're paying all their main guys. They're an injury away from just going downhill. And I Reed hates this stat and kind of fact, but the last six seasons, the wide receiver won the year before. I don't know if it's necessarily they got injured or circumstances around their offense prevented them, but they had major drop off. So yeah. It's either Jamar Chase going to have a down year with maybe Joe Burrow getting hurt again because he is injury prone. Shut I hate up. To say that. I hate to say that.
Shut up. Brady, shut
I mean, dude, I don't know. I'm not buying the Bengals this year. And I'm not necessarily buying the Steelers this year because I'm not. I think they're just going to be like maybe a game better. You know, I think the Ravens are firmly going to dominate that division. And I think the Steelers, Mike Tomlin's going to get that team to 500 whether you want it or not. You can scream about it, you can cry, but it's going to happen.
Okay, so
Steelers football.
And that then was Bengals. Actually the last hot take I had is I think this is the year. I think the streak ends this year.
Not on Mike Tomlin's watch, bud. He's going to get you the 9 wins. So yeah, I got Baltimore, Pittsburgh, then Cincinnati, and then Cleveland might be in contention with the top pick this year. So even though they have some dudes, it's just.
So you got Pittsburgh in second place, Steelers?
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Then Bengals. The Browns.
It's going to be kind of like a last year situation. They're going to just barely miss the playoffs. Would they finish 8-9 this year, 9-8, something like that?
Who?
Cincinnati.
Bengals? Yeah, something like that. Yeah. They got off to a terrible start.
Yeah, I'm not saying they might have a terrible start, but I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm buying to them. They're so poorly ran.
That's fair. For me, though, I just feel like the offense is still so loaded. Your injury thing, that's fair, but I do feel like they've got someone that, as long as it's not Jamar Chase or Joe Burrow that gets hurt, I think they'll be all right. I think they got some guys that can step up into wide receiver, too. Everything about Jermaine Burton's been good in camp this year. I'm not buying into it, but that's a good sign.
I think their offense
Yoshiba's not bad.
Yeah.
Chase Brown, I think, is going to have a really good year. And, like, for Pittsburgh, like I said, I think the streak ends. I just think Rodgers is cooked. Like, I would not be surprised if Mason Rudolph is starting games by the end of the year.
He might be. I mean, go ahead.
Oh, I don't think, like, they have a ton of talent there. Like, DK Metcalf, I like him, but as your only receiver, like you're hoping Roman Wilson pans
Calvin
out right
Austin
now.
Too.
Yeah, Calvin Austin, you hope he shows like some progression, I guess. Like, Jalen Warren's not a bad piece, but he's RB1. You gotta kind of hope Caleb Johnson gets past those preseason woes.
Oh no, you don't.
You got Kenny G.
You fucking feed Jalen Warren the ball all day.
No, that's quite all right. They don't need to do that. Let's get Kenny G on the field. Honestly, let's get some Kenny G action.
I'm not
getting
carried away.
I don't think the offense is going to be very good, and I think the defense should be good and probably will be to start the year. But like I think you were the one to point it out a couple pods ago. Like, they're probably going to burn out, and I couldn't agree more. And I think that's what's going to happen with Cleveland too. Not that they're ever really going to be in contention, but as far as they go, I'm not buying into Flacco for anything other than fantasy purposes, and they just don't have a lot of talent on offense, and that defense is going to be nasty to start the year. Myles Garrett with that kid they drafted, that's just going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but by the end of the year, they're going to be giving up and burn out and tired and calling it good and everything. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick pause, and we will be right back with Brady's home division. Let's go ahead and diggity dive back onto this bitch.
Sweet.
Next up, like I guess before I said we went to break, is your home division, which I think could be the best in the league this year. Do you think J.J. McCarthy's got it in him to win it, win the division this year?
The roster says yeah, he should be. I don't even think he has to be, like, you know, elite. I think if he doesn't even wreck the car, I think they're going to be pretty damn good. Like, that defense is going to be top three. No home, no, not even trying to be homerish.
No, I don't think that's
so that honestly, that might be the strongest point of their team, even though they got freaking Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, these two good running backs, a rebuild offensive line that should be much improved. TJ Hockenson's a really good tight end. Yeah, man, like, honestly, there's no excuses. He should be leading this team to the playoffs. Honestly, I think it would be a disappointment if he doesn't. And I don't care if it just because it's his first year starting. Kevin O'Connell's that good of a coach. Brian Flores is that good of a coach. Like, this is their handpicked guy. Now go make it happen.
So, yeah. So do you have them winning the division?
Yeah, I was back and forth on this one. I think there's regression from the Lions this year with losing two key offensive linemen, one by retirement, one I think via free agency, and new coordinators, both offense and defensive coordinators. I think they're going to take a step back. Don't be shocked if they actually missed the playoffs this year, but still a squad
really?
Team. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I think they barely missed the playoffs this year at 9 wins. It's going to be still a competitive, good football team, but I just think, I don't know. We're going to see what Dan Campbell is really made of as a coach. He doesn't have Ben Johnson, yeah. Aaron Glenn. Green Bay is who I fear the most.
Okay.
Because I don't know, man. It's just the Packers. Like, they always seem to just be good no matter, like, I'm looking at their roster. I was like, is it really that good? It doesn't matter. They're the Packers, man. They're just going to be there. Yeah. They got a really good coach. Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. I like Jordan Love. I think he's a good quarterback. If Matthew Golden's good, that, man,
yeah,
that offense, you know, Josh Jacobs, like, they already got a run game. And Tucker Kraft, good tight end. I will be homers, though. I think it will come down to the last matchup between Vikings and Green Bay, and I believe a game is played in Minnesota, and I do have them winning the division.
Okay.
At the end of the year. Probably
so you got
about
the Packers second?
Yeah, and I think both teams make the playoffs for sure. I think Minnesota, I want to say 11-6, maybe 12-5, depending on how things shake out. They might even finish with the same record. But just tiebreaker-wise, I think Minnesota just won. But I still – yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons on that defense, and they're already a young roster anyway, which is a good thing, but kind of dumb when I'm looking at the overall age of rosters because, like, the youngest team is, like, 2 years younger than, like, the oldest team. Like, how much really is that being factored in?
Yeah.
Does that really make a difference? I don't know. But yeah, so I think I got Vikings, Packers, Lions, and then Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Chicago, dude. Like, Caleb Williams is going to be a fucking disaster.
Yep.
Ben Johnson might be Josh McDaniels 2.0. Like, he might be a good coordinator, but, like, he seems like he's a hard ass. I was like, man, I don't know if you've had that respect yet.
Yeah, you got to kind of earn that.
Yeah.
You can't just jump into it.
It's, and you know, who knows how he leads a whole team? He's obviously a good play caller. But
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll I don't buy it, and I'll never buy the Bears. So.
Yeah. I agreed. I'll never buy a Bears.
Before I let you go into it, I think it's 9 of the last 10 years that the Bears have went under their season win projection. And I think the only year was that Khalil Mack here, he got traded and they won that division, which, I mean, that defense was crazy, but yeah,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. The Bears fucking suck.
I don't get it, man. You could give them the most talented QB in the world, and they would just like turn him into a fucking turd.
Yeah. Same with receiver.
Yeah, dude.
Same with receiver. Yeah.
They can't draft one. They got to trade for him. They used to. One thing I will say is they do typically have good defenses, so I will give them that. Yeah. They can draft defense, but offense, it's like they're fucking playing checkers, and everyone's playing chess.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I have the Bears in 4-2. I got the Lions winning the division. Okay. I agree. I do think they regress a little bit. I don't think they're like so dominant. Right. I think they're still good enough to win the division. Like that D's going to be healthier. They getting a couple of key, Jack Campbell and Alex Anzalone back. That's huge. It's good. And they were still like a mid. They were still weren't a bad defense last year. Now you're getting them.
It helps when you're up a lot of points, I will say.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, they lost Ben Johnson, but they still have all the same talent they had last year. And Agreed. All of, like, the skill positions are still at, like, good ages. Like, Amon's not old. He's still potentially entering his prime. Jahmyr Gibbs is probably going into his prime. You can make the case for David Montgomery, you know, that he's getting kind of old, but he's RB2. And Jameson Williams, a lot of people are projecting breakout. Isaac Tesla, a lot of people are saying he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a shit ton of talent on this team.
They are talented.
Dan Campbell, I don't know about, like, his, like, philosophy scheme. I don't know how good he is and all that, and I'm not going to pretend to know. But, like, he's definitely just, like, a head coach, and, like, he makes the right moves. Like, I feel like he's...
Can you pull up
I don't know. He makes some dumb moves as head coach sometimes, too. He was smarter last year. But that
can you pull,
that
up, the, can you pull up the Lions first, like, 4 or 5 games?
Sure, yeah. That's
so
good.
I think they play in Green Bay week 1. I want to see what kind of start they get after. Because I think they might play the Chiefs real early, too.
I think you might be right on that as well.
Because I think they have a really rough start. Because if they don't get off to a decent start, man, the ship could go... Okay. Real rickety.
Yeah, so it is definitely not an easy start. Their bye week is 8. So up to that, they have the Packers, the Bears, Baltimore, Cleveland, Cincinnati, Kansas City, Tampa Bay.
Mm.
That's tough. Mm. And then they get you guys. The shit. Then Philadelphia. Dude. Then the Giants, then the Packers, then the Cowboys, then the Rams, then Pittsburgh, then you guys, and Chicago to round out the year. You know, that is a fucking bitch of a schedule.
Their offensive line, new coordinators. I'm not saying they don't have talent, but, like, I don't know if that run game is going to be as dominant, which I don't know, man.
Scheme that is a bitch of a schedule, no doubt. Let me look at the Vikings schedule, because I do have them number 2. And
we have a pretty favorable schedule to start off the year.
Yeah, and I think you guys are, like, going into this, I was like, the Vikings are right on their ass. Like, it was definitely something I had to think about for sure.
So you I got think we're
week 6 bye, and then you got Chicago, at Chicago, Atlanta, Cincinnati, at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland bye.
Those Pittsburgh and Cleveland games are all international. They're both international games.
Okay, that could be a pain. Back-to-back international games.
It is a pain
for you guys.
But... it also wasn't good for, you know, another team coming. We'll already be acclimated in Europe, though. It's not like...
You guys are staying. You guys are going to be staying.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a difference. That does make a difference, I would guess. Then coming back, you got Philly, the Chargers, Detroit, Baltimore, Chicago, Green Bay, Seattle, Washington, Giants, Detroit, Green Bay. That's not a great schedule in the second half.
In between,
it's not as hard as the Lions. It's not as hard as the Lions, that's for sure. Still, like, there's some teams in there. You guys got to play Baltimore, too.
Oh, for sure.
But like you get them at home.
That stretch after the bye, I think, Detroit
Washington.
Or Philly, and then
Baltimore.
Yeah, that stretch there is the toughest part. If we can go 500 in that stretch and get off to a good start in the first 4 or 5 games.
Go, like, 4-1.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, Cincinnati is probably the toughest of the first three or
no
first
doubt.
Five.
No
because
doubt.
Just
4-1
like,
is definitely on the table.
Yeah.
5-0 is definitely on the table.
It is. Well, and if we get a running game, man, that's just
I think the running game will be all right. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, it was okay last year. It's just something we haven't seen yet with Kevin O'Connell. So this new offensive line, I got high hopes for them. Regardless if they don't win the division, I still think they make the playoffs this year. But I do think they win.
I agree. I got the Vikings in the division or in the playoffs either way. I didn't do playoff projections yet, but probably won't get that done before the year starts. Maybe we can do an early overreactions after week one.
Yeah.
Do like playoffs projections after that.
I'm down for that.
Like just an overreaction after week one.
My God.
Did you see David Montgomery? RB1. RB1. But no, I had the Packers third place in this division. Honestly, I don't believe in the offense. I think Matt LaFleur is kind of a mid coach.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's had time there, and I mean, he's gotten some dudes in there too, and it just never really has come to like super fruition. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's on the good side of mid, but like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not super confident in the offense.
I think Matthew Golden's
not good.
Yeah, not to interrupt you, but I think he's like the third or fourth most winningest coach as far as percentage goes in NFL history. I think he's coached there like 5 or 6 years.
That is pretty nice. I won't argue.
I mean, and I will say,
still that he had Aaron Rodgers prime.
Yeah, I mean, he got to the NFC Championship like the first 2 or 3 years he was coaching there.
How long has he been there?
Well, since Aaron Rodgers prime, so I want to say about 19, 20, something like that. So maybe even earlier than that, 18, maybe.
Okay, maybe that's a little more recent than maybe I'm thinking. Or a little older than maybe I'm thinking.
Well,
I'm thinking maybe.
It's been at least six years, I think.
Yeah, you know what now you're saying? And it has been probably like 6 or 7 years. It's been a while. I don't know. I don't know.
He hasn't won the big one.
Packers never blow me away. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I guess he gets the team there, which is what's important. But like, Dallas's defense was like last year. They weren't elite with Micah Parsons, and I don't think him necessarily going to the Packers. I mean, that certainly makes him a lot better. I don't want to make this sound like Micah Parsons isn't good or anything. He's one of the best players in the NFL right now. But like, it's not the greatest against the run. I don't think he just.
Yeah.
I don't think he goes there and just makes them this insane defense. I think he gives them an awesome element and definitely makes their defense better.
So. Yeah, the best case scenario as a Vikings fan, looking at the Packers, is they're paying these two players so much money that if it doesn't work out, here in about 2 years, they're going to be in cap hell, no draft picks, and
Micah. And who else are they paying?
Jordan Love.
How much are they paying him?
Oh, they're paying him almost $60 million a year.
Jeez, that's crazy.
I think 54, 55. He's up there with like, you know. Lamar's and Josh.
Kind of feels like they're building the Bengals.
It kind of does, but
that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah, and then
first round picks, man.
For the Bears, all I put there for notes on them was just Bears. That's all I really got on the. That's all I got for Chicago.
Yeah, do you think it's going to be a disaster?
I don't know about a disaster. I mean. I think it'll be like last year, honestly. Kind of like last year. Like stupid moments from Caleb Williams, like on Thanksgiving where it's the end of the game and he's got to get the playoff, run down like 30 seconds, like at the line, like trying to like, I don't know what he's trying to do. If he's trying to be like Peyton or Tom, like making calls at the line, but just standing there and let the clock run out. I don't even think he got the playoff in time.
Yeah, but I don't think so either.
Just no awareness.
Do you think it's because of his implosion, or do you think it's going to be a combination of him and Ben Johnson just not working, or do you think Ben Johnson's in over his head?
Kind of both, and also, I think the defense is pretty solid, but like the offense, I mean. Romo Dunze hasn't been that great. I mean, the jury's not out. He's not done yet. I mean,
yeah, this is what his second year. Yeah,
Yeah, DJ Moore is a good NFL wide receiver, but he's not AJ Brown or
no, he's a tier below.
Or even Puka Nacua. Yeah, he's a little below there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're talking about Olamide Zaccheaus as their wide receiver three right now, is what it's sounding like, over Luther Burden, and that's gross. I don't know. The tight end situation, they got a couple of nice tight ends, that's cool, but it just
DeAndre Swift just doesn't excite me either.
He doesn't excite me. I feel like you can count on him to be a really good RB2, though, just because his only competition is Roshan Johnson and Kyle Monongai. And Kyle Monongai is a seventh-round draft pick who is getting knocked on his ass in pass protection in the preseason.
Yeah, if you can't pass protect, you're not going to see the field.
Yeah. So yeah. I think it's kind of Swift's backfield, barring an injury. Now, Roshan might be like, get some short yardage work, maybe some goal line work and poach some stuff right there, but yeah, it's pretty gross. Speaking of gross, well, never mind. This division's not gross. The lower half feels kind of gross. It's my home division, the AFC East. And real quickly, let me tell everyone why the Patriots 17-0. Historic playoff run. I'm just kidding. I got the Bills winning the division, obviously, enough said. But I do have the Patriots second. I think they kind of capitalized on, like, dysfunction in Miami and just like the Jets not being real good, and as long as Drake May avoids like a sophomore slump, they upgraded everywhere. The offensive line is better, the weapons are better, the coach is leaps and bounds better. Like went from maybe the worst coach in the league potentially,
probably,
to I would say a top 10 coach in the league, maybe top 12.
10-12, yeah
in that area. Like we gotta see what he does this year.
Top 10.
Yeah, he's been out the game for a year, so we got to see what he does coming back. But just a good, just the defense is better. I'm a little worried about Gonzo. Kind of seems like he's got a lingering injury. I kind of wish they'd just sit him down for a couple weeks and let him chill, let him come back week three. We're not playing for a Super Bowl this year, anyways. Like, no point in risking it. But then I got the Dolphins in third place. I feel like they're just like too talented to finish in last, although I can totally see it imploding and that happening. I could also see like everything. I could low-key see a wonky year just everywhere in the NFL this year, and maybe one where the Dolphins just maybe they are good. Who knows? They have a very wide range of outcomes. I think Miami does.
They are the biggest question mark possibly in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could have one of the best offenses in the league. They could be dysfunctional and terrible too.
I really like their coach. I do. But yeah, it's just Miami's a distraction, and then just the players they have, Tyreek Hill situation. It just seems like a lot, and Tua's injuries.
Achan is hurt right now, dealing with
always, yeah, stuff. Which is probably going to linger throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I got the Bills winning the division. And then I actually do have the Patriots second. I think they, even just roster-wise from top to bottom, I think they're better. Like, they got an upgrade in the receiving room. I like Drake May. I think he's a good quarterback. I think I was high on him in the draft, and, yeah, that hasn't changed. He's got a good arm. Trayvon Henderson looks like he's an explosive back that he could
– yes.
He'd be a home run hitter. You know, where he can step off the running back screen and he just takes one to the house. And Mike Vrabel is a really good coach. They are going to be, call me crazy, they're going to be flirting with the playoffs.
No, I agree.
This year.
I think flirting with it. Like, they're going to be.
It wouldn't shock me if they get the seventh seed and get in there. They're going to be one of the teams fighting for it, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. As part of my take would say, they're going to be on the graphic. They're going to be in the graphic. Yeah, at the end 100%. Of the year, for sure.
And then, yeah, the Dolphins then come in at three for me. It's same exact as you. And then
the Jets.
The Jets. Let's look at that dysfunctional organization. Yeah, man, I don't buy – as much as I like Justin Fields' fantasy, I don't think it's going to be – sustainable throughout 17 games.
I agree.
I will say, I think he's going to have some high moments. I think he's going to have some real low moments. Don't really buy into that offense. It's new. It's a whole new regime, though. So, you know, that remains to be seen. Maybe they're competitive and Aaron Glenn gets them in the right direction. But I'll believe that when I see it, because the only successful Jets coach I've seen in my lifetime is Rex Ryan. And
they fired him.
Yeah, they fired him. And there was and Mark, what was his name? Eric Mangini or something like that. That was his name. And they were, he was okay.
He was a fucking cop. He was a fucking cop, is what that guy is.
Yeah, I'm not saying I like him, but
tattletale ass bitch. Fuck Eric Mangini. All my homies.
Eric Mangini, that's who it is. He wasn't a terrible coach, but Rex Ryan.
He's a good coordinator. He was an all right head coach. He was a good coordinator. Yeah, fuck him, though. He's the one that went crying about, we're spiking, we're. The Patriots beat us week one. They cheated, we're. Randy Moss, we're. Fucking bitch.
That's awesome.
And you want to know what happened, you know, later in the year when we played him again? With our cameras in the right spot on the field, because recording from the wrong spot on the field, give me a break. Give me a break. We still beat the fuck out of them. I think we beat them worse, actually.
Probably.
If I remember right. I'm pretty sure Randy caught like two tutties.
It goes back to Rex Ryan, though, dude. It's crazy that you got that coach to lead Mark Sanchez, of all people, to two AFC, and you fire that guy because he had a downish year. Are you fucking
or two
crazy?
I think it might have been like two downish years.
I mean, but come still, on, dude.
But still.
And what are you going to be?
He literally did that the first year he got there with Sanchez. It didn't even take him time to build up. He got there, walked in, built the shit up in an offseason, and was instantly like giving Tom Brady and Bill Belichick hell. Like, and they fired him.
He was he comes from NFL royalty, though. Like, his dad was a defensive coordinator for the 85 Bears.
Mm-hmm.
So,
his brother.
Yeah, and his brother, Rex, or I mean,
Rob. Yeah.
Rob Ryan.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. All I put down for the Jets was just Jets, because I think they're just going to be the Jets again this year. Like, kind of.
They're like
pretty
the
much,
Bears of the AFC.
Yeah. Pretty much everything you said is just like, I like it for fantasy. And I'll play devil's advocate really quickly. Like, I guess, like, I do think that they have the right personnel for what the coaches want to do. Aaron Glenn wants to pound the ball and run the ball. And I think that's what Tanner Engstrand is going to want to do, because he comes from Ben Johnson, who likes to run the ball as well. And they've got three running backs that they like, that they could use, that could be like, have actual roles. And Justin Fields, who could run the ball, that could be a really dynamic running offense. Garrett Wilson, you can feed him the ball. He's not super explosive with it, but it gets you a first down, you know.
Yeah.
And the defense isn't going to be bad. It's going to be respectable.
No, it should be respectable, because the Jets, they're so similar to Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, they're always got good defense, but they're just so bad on offense.
Maybe a good running back, maybe a good tight end, but just never a good quarterback. Or the receiver, they might have a guy like DJ Moore or Garrett Wilson, kind of like similar guys right there. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that, though.
It's crazy, yeah. If everything clicks, though, and I could see the vision, I do, but I just don't
it's
buy
a big
into
if.
It.
It's
yeah.
a very big if.
But if it does click, it could be a really scrappy team if it does click and Justin Fields doesn't wreck the ship.
And I don't know the stat behind it, but Heath Cummings has a stat for it that I don't even think it's like a secret stat. I think it's just like, if you look at his numbers, Justin Fields has gotten better as a passer every year in the NFL. He's getting, like, it's not like massive improvement, but it is improvement each year. So
I was a little confused.
Just a little bit better. We'll see.
I was a little confused he got benched last year.
Me too. What were they like?
They're
4-2.
And two? 4-2.
Were they 4-2?
When he got, I think
okay.
so.
Yeah.
Yeah, he actually put up decent right. stats. He wasn't train wrecking the team.
I remember right, everything that was coming out about like the locker room is that they wanted Justin Fields to stay the quarterback. They didn't want Russ.
But. Yeah, and also Russell Wilson's just weird, but
Yeah. We'll see how long.
He's an odd guy.
Yeah. I guess that is actually a great transition point, Russ Wilson, to go to this last division here of the NFC East. A lot of stories here, of course, but Russ Wilson, I think he's going to be probably last in the division, probably gets benched at some point within the year. And I don't think he's got to be like, yeah. And I don't even think he's got to be terrible to get benched. But like, I don't know the schedule. I'm going to pull it up. They have a fucking hellhole of a schedule to start the year. The Giants do. And I would not be surprised. And yeah. I've heard that people say this too, if they just kind of let Russ Wilson suffer through like the tough defenses at the beginning of the year and then throw in Jackson Dart.
That might be good for his development.
Washington, Dallas, Kansas City, Chargers, New Orleans, Philly, Denver, Philly, San Francisco, Chicago. Now, that's not as bad as it was, and not so bad, but yeah, we'll see. How do you have this division shaping out?
NFC East. I got Philly winning. I have no reason not to pick them right now. I mean, it's defending champs. Saquon could get hurt. That's typically what happens with RB1s the next year for whatever reason. Just the
after his kind of workload, yeah. And as deep in the season as they went too.
Yeah, the only one I think I'd trust would be Derrick Henry to do it again, but he's just a freak. But yeah, I got Philly winning, Washington right behind them, still making the playoffs. Dallas third, and then the Giants being pretty bad and probably fire everybody.
Okay. I'm pretty close to you here. Got the Eagles, of course, first. I got the Cowboys in second, though, over the Commanders in third. And I think the Commanders are another one of those teams, like we were talking about earlier, that even in third place in their division could still be like a wild card team. I think
Dallas. NFC, yeah.
Yeah, I think Dallas.
You're high on Dallas this year?
Huh? I'm really high on the offense. I think the offense will be really good, especially if they do end up trading for like a Travis Etienne or a Breece Hall. I would love, as a Breece Hall owner, if they traded for Breece Hall. That would be incredible.
I never bought into the Dallas is going to be really, really bad this year, mainly because this is just a personal we're thinking about. I always loved Marty Schottenheimer. You know, he was one of my favorite coaches for the Chargers. It's this kid who's coaching the Cowboys. That's the head coach. I'm thinking, a couple years ago, he was still the offensive coordinator there and they had the number one offense.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a good coach like his dad. I don't know.
Yeah.
Except maybe he has playoff success.
I think the offense is going to be nice. The defense will still be, I think, okay. It's going to drop off a little bit, but the guy, Kenny, what's his name that they got
Kenny
back?
Kenny Clark.
Yeah.
And they have back. A good, other good D tackle, too. They have good defensive tackles.
Yeah, I think they're going to be really good against the run this year.
Oh, for sure. They might not have the pass rushing specials like Micah Parsons, but they're going to get
still got some dudes in the secondary too.
Bland just got paid.
Excuse me, a good run defense with some dudes in a secondary, you can kind of get by without an elite pass rush, especially if you have a talented offense.
They'll be flirting with about 8-9 wins, I think.
Okay, yeah, I got them a little higher. I forgot to get down a lot of your teams, so we'll probably go back over that after we do this before we switch up to picking. But the Commanders, I put them below. The reason I put the Commanders lower, it was pretty close to, it was actually really hard to decide. The Terry McLaurin holdout, I kind of worry that he could get hurt, because that happens a lot with dudes that miss a lot of camp like that. Getting older, too. And not that he's old, but he's going to be 30 basically to start the year. He's 29 right now, but his birthday is like September. I've looked it up a couple times this year. It's like it's in the September teens, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I don't really buy into Deebo Samuel personally. I've heard a lot of people talking about that he's a good fit with Kingsbury because he likes to have a guy like that. That might be true too. I don't think the defense is going to be very good. I know they brought some guys in, but they're kind of old.
And I just don't know if it's really going to be that much better. And the running back room, Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara, Bill, whatever we're calling him, he's listed as RB4 on the depth chart. So I think it's so – it cracked me up. All the people in some – I was in a league. Someone spent like half their fab on him, dude. I was like,
holy shit.
Seeing stuff online, people are trading first-round picks and shit for him. Like, you guys are tweaking. Austin Eckler is the starting running back for that team this year. And then it's just going to be a mishmash of dudes behind it.
I'm shocked we didn't draft one this year.
Me too.
Can you imagine like a dynamic running back like Jahmyr Gibbs or Bijan Robinson with Jaden Daniels?
Or like Trevian Henderson?
Yeah.
Or Omarion Hampton, RJ Harvey. Like a lot of these guys, yeah. So we will see. I guess I did actually get all of your divisions typed out except just the AFC East is the only one I missed. And you had the Bills, Patriots. You had the same as me, right?
Yep, the same. Okay.
Cool. All right. Well, then we can take one last quick pause and we will jump back in with our week one picks. Oh, Reed. I really wanted a ZBR parlay, goddammit.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I plan on putting some in this weekend. Always love doing the pickups.
Yeah, we'll see. I might throw a few bucks around.
Yeah. Nothing too crazy. Nothing like what Reed does. Throwing $25 down. That's like, man.
When you fucking win as much as he does.
Yeah. God, he makes a lot of NBA best. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. His NBA is really, where he does do a lot of his damage. Yeah. Yeah, we will see. All right, well, I guess we can just use that to go ahead and start to kick off the year. We got Cowboys at the Eagles in Lincoln Financial. I think it's kind of weird this game's not the one international, but who do you got in this one? I'm going the Eagles in a shootout.
Yeah, it's going to be a fairly high-scoring game. It's in Philly. I'm Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, gonna be a good game though. I don't think it's gonna be I don't like the spread. Was it 7.5 points for Philly? I think that's pretty high for me personally.
I haven't even looked. Yeah, that is pretty high.
I think Dallas covers that. Yeah,
I might spread some on that actually. Sprinkle a little bit there. That's way too high in my opinion. Since we're on the ZBR parlay and we're both pretty locked in on that spread right there, I'll put that down in the ZBR parlay right there as the spread. Chiefs at the Chargers. Well, it's not really at the Chargers. It's in Brazil. I don't even know. Honestly, you know, low key, I can see the Chargers coming out swinging. I think I'll go Chargers here.
I'm going to take Kansas City.
Okay.
Yeah, neutral side game. If it was in L.A., well, I don't even know if that's really makes a difference. I guess I don't even know how big of fans they are of the Chargers in L.A. It's kind of a casual town. Honestly, they might have more of a home crowd here in Brazil than they do in Los Angeles, honestly.
Yeah.
God, that's pretty sad.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yeah, no
kidding. I hope it's like obvious, like just like watching on TV, like wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of Chargers fans.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Kansas City though. It'll be a good game.
Agreed. And just really quickly, looking on FanDuel right now, the spread on that Eagles Cowboys game is actually 8.5 right now.
What?
Yeah, so lock that in, hammer that home.
Yeah,
for all of our non-existent live listeners right now. moving nuts. On to the Bucks at the Falcons. I think Bucks probably take care of business here.
I agree. I a lot of question marks for to play Atlanta, right?
Yes, it is in Atlanta.
Yeah, in Atlanta. Yeah. I mean, AFC South or NFC South is weird, you know, but because I mean, Tampa has started off slow a couple times, haven't they, before they pick things up. I mean, it could be a weird one, but I'm going to go Tampa Bay. But it might be oddly close.
And the spread on that game is 1.5. So
Vegas thinks
it's going to be close too. And the money line for Tampa is only 130. If you combine that with the spread right there, you're already at +230 on a parlay too. I think that's not a bad little start, but I'll hold that one off for a second. Moving on, Bengals at the Browns. Going the Bengals here.
Bengals at the Browns.
Yeah, I have a feeling you're about to go to the Browns.
You know what? Yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland, man.
And I'm kind of, now that I'm kind of thinking about it more, I'm kind of wanting to as well.
That defense,
defense is going to be fresh.
Yeah, like that Bengals offensive line is pretty freaking bad. I don't know, man.
I'm going to go Browns as well.
Yeah, Joe Flacco is going to have like just a good enough day where he gets it done. Yeah, I'm going Cleveland.
Yeah, absolutely. They get after Burrow. It could be bad to start the year. Offense still trying to figure stuff out. And that'll happen a lot in the beginning of the year. Like, defenses will overwhelm offenses trying to figure out, get their rhythm and stuff. And
absolutely.
Joe Flacco, the Cincinnati defense isn't overwhelming, even the Browns. So I think he could just be slinging the ball too. So, yeah, I'm going to go Browns with you. Yeah, I'm glad we talked that one out a little bit there.
Yeah.
Next up, we got the Dolphins at the Colts. Oof.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Man.
I'm going to take Indy here. Indy at home.
All right, let's hear why. Convince me why, because I can't really decide here.
Well, I feel like as far as rosters go, it's pretty similar. I think Indy has weapons. I think they're going to be able to run on them at home, and it's going to be a close game, but I don't know. I think they lean heavy on the run game. Daniel Jones just does enough at home. If it was in Miami, I would have. It's one of those things where if you're home, I'm going to probably side with that team that close for me personally.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. I think I am going to go Dolphins, though, just because, like, it is the Dolphins. They're going to a dome, so I'm not worried about that, you know, because
that's true.
Later in the year, you start talking about Dolphins going to cold weather and stuff. And so I always like the Dolphins in a dome. The offense could come out swinging, especially if Achan is healthy, which he is listed to be that right now. So
we'll see.
And they do have a decent defense. They got Zach Sealer, Bradley Chubb. They got a couple other dudes on their defensive line that are, like, they're really good. They got a defensive line. That's not their issue on defense. And that could overwhelm Daniel Jones, I think, maybe pretty easily week one. So I'm going to go Dolphins.
Okay.
Next up, we got the Panthers at the Jaguars. Oh, man.
Is that the Battle of the Mid this week?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, man.
In Jacksonville?
Yeah, I think I'm going to kind of go Jacksonville here because of that.
Same.
Yeah. All right, after that, we got the Raiders at the Patriots. I am, of course, going the Patriots here. Even homerisms aside,
that would be a good game.
You think so?
I think so.
Robert Spillane revenge game.
Yeah. you know, I'm gonna go with the Raiders.
Okay.
Even though I'm high on the Patriots this year, I think that'll be like their, you know, one odd loss like every team has on the schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. Where like,
you shouldn't, you know.
Everyone's going to scream buzzed about Drake May at the beginning of the year.
I think they'll be just fine in the end. But, I think –
Yeah. All right. After that, we got the Cardinals at the Saints. I'm going the Cardinals here. Yeah. I think about that too hard.
it would be crazy to see if Kellen Moore is legit and he has that Saints team pretty competitive. But
the Saints did start off really hot last year.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? They were putting up like historic points. That was with Derek Carr, too.
I mean, it's been really that much of a difference from what Derek Carr was last year to Spencer Rattler.
Guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I guess we will. So are you going down as Cardinals then?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. After that, we got the Steelers at the Jets. Aaron Rodgers revenge game? That's actually kind of looky, kind of interesting.
Yeah, man, that's good. It's at the Jets, too.
Yeah, I'm going Jets.
That's
classic Jets trap game. You think that's a game the Jets should win? Not a chance. No, I'm going Steelers, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. It's going to be a really ugly football game.
Yes, it is. It is going to be absolutely fucking disgusting.
The meat and potatoes. We're going to find out who's...
I don't even know if it's going to be meat and potatoes, bro. It just might be dog food.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be dog water.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking like a 17-14, you know?
Yeah.
13-10.
Be generous.
Yeah, 13-10. Come on.
10-3.
Yeah.
6-3.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm getting carried with it. 2-3. next up, we got the Giants at the Commanders. I think the Commanders are going to come out with kind of – been a lot of stories about the Commanders so far in camp in the preseason. I feel like they probably kind of want to come out swinging here. Probably got a lot more to play for. I'm going to go Commanders.
Yeah, I think the Giants are just that bad too. Although I will say they have a lot of dudes on the line, like, you know, Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Yep.
I think they're missing somebody.
Abdul Carter, right?
Yeah, they got dudes, man.
Giants
seem to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I got the Commanders winning that.
Okay. Let me put some of these legs together on this here parlay. Were we both on the Jags? Yes, we were. And we are both on the Steelers here. I believe that covers all so far. Okay. All right, Titans at the Broncos. I feel like this is a pretty easy Broncos, pretty addition to the parlay leg.
Yeah, agreed. Denver's going to probably frustrate a rookie quarterback and do some mistakes, high altitude, good defense. So,
yeah,
we'll see if Bo Nix doesn't regress a little bit. I'm thinking he probably does a little, but...
Even if he does, I don't think it's going to be against the Titans.
Yeah.
Next up, we got a game with a little bit of flavor here. The 49ers at the Seahawks. I could kind of see the Seahawks having like a fooled you game, like week one.
Yeah, Sam Darnold balls out.
Yeah. And then maybe they kind of trend downwards from there. You know, the 49ers have had a lot going on in camp, too. And Ricky Pearsall, I'm super high on him for fantasy. And I know you're excited to have him, and you should be. But as an NFL team, like with winning the division, honestly, winning the Super Bowl aspirations, I don't know if I want him as my wide receiver one or Juwan Jennings, if either whoever's wide receiver one of those guys.
Sir, he's unproven.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he could break out and he could be elite. And I think he's going to be good this year. But I don't think he's going to be like
I'm hoping he turns into
a
Cooper
wide
Cup.
Receiver one. You do what?
I'm hoping he turns into Cooper Kupp. His practice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Got the physical profile.
Sure.
So we'll see.
And I'm not banking on, well, I guess I was going to say something about Ayuk, but that's talking about the rest of the year, not this week. Yeah, I think I'm going to go the Seahawks here.
Yeah, it's a tough game, but I'm going to go Kyle Shanahan has months to game plan against the team. And I think Kyle Shanahan's probably one of the best in the biz when it comes to doing that. So I think they get the job done. So
Yeah, that's really close to making me switch my thing, but I won't because the parlay is already long enough anyways. Lions at Packers. Another game with some flavor here.
That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, it is.
Hate them both so much.
A good hate watch for you.
Yeah. I don't feel good about any of them winning, but...
Yeah, me either. This is really tough. I think I'm going to go Lions.
I'm going to take Green Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's very fair. Let's get the Texans at the Rams. Man, this would be another good game, too. Wow. You know, if the Rams were in the Texans division, I would probably pick the Rams to win that division.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think their pass rush is going to get to C.J. Stroud.
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off what you said about Kyle Shanahan there. With Sean McVay. Just so long to prepare. Like I said, I do like D'Amico Ryans, and I like C.J. Stroud, too, but... Stafford, we know, is playing this game for sure. So
yeah.
I'll go ahead and take the Rams here.
Yeah. Whether he makes it through the entire season is a whole other thing. But yeah.
Absolutely. Ravens at the Bills. Who you got?
Oh, man. That's a game of the week.
Ravens, yeah, that's Sunday night.
Oh, God. Injected to my veins, dude. That's. Oh, I love it. Man, this is going to be such a close game, dude. It won't be too cold in Buffalo yet.
Nah. I wouldn't even factor that.
If it was later in the year, I'd probably side with Buffalo. But I think I'm going to take Baltimore here.
Yeah.
It was close. It's a coin flip, man. Like,
it really
Buffalo
is
at home, but...
I think Baltimore just has a better roster. Really fucking good, though.
Yeah.
One of the best in the league. This is tough, but I'm probably going to go Ravens. Another, I think just the head coach probably better. Another case of that, just more time.
Sean McDermott is good. He is good.
He is good. But
John Harbaugh is really good.
Yeah, I agree. And just the Ravens just have such good and smooth and consistent operation
so
up there.
Fast.
Yeah. So lastly, we got Monday Night Football. Your Vikings at the Bears. Okay.
The Bears. Yeah. This is a dub for the Minnesota Vikings. Kevin O'Connell, like McVay and Shannon has months to scheme for Chicago. This is his handpicked guy. We're going to see, hopefully, this new version of this offense, like I've chimed in before earlier when we're picking the standings. Yeah. I don't think it's going to be as close as the spread says it is either. I think they're going to win by 10 points.
What's the spread on this one?
I think Minnesota's favored by 1.5, maybe 2 points.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of the national media is buying into Minnesota, which is fair because it's such an unknown at quarterback. But I'm trusting Kevin O'Connell. So, until I'm proven wrong.
Why can't I find
him? Were you on FanDuel or ESPN?
FanDuel. In the world? So I'm going to look and see what the spread is currently. There we go. Okay. Yeah, it's 1.5 right now.
So yeah, I would definitely add the Vikings to cover that. It's telling me location permission denied. I don't know why. I'm in Kansas. Hmm. That's really weird. But yeah, yeah, I think we should add the 1.5 to the parlay. I think we will probably tail that as well.
Yeah, I don't know. Like 4.5 just seems really crazy. I don't think it's going to be that close of a game. Yeah.
What I was going to say is, if JJ McCarthy is literally as good as Caleb Williams was last year, this is an easy dub for the Vikings. So I don't know. Yeah. I'm not really counting on Caleb Williams getting on any better. And then the rest of the team around him is a whole lot better. And I don't think I said this when we were going through it. You kind of alluded to it. Like, they essentially have like two head coaches on that team. You got Kevin O'Connell calling the shots on everything. And then you've got like Brian Flores should be a head coach somewhere.
He should be. I love that he's not. I love the longest loss it goes.
Yeah. Not everybody, in my opinion, not everybody should be a head coach. I think he should be. But a lot of these dudes that are. Some people should just be coordinators. Some people did not learn from Josh McDaniels.
I think he's going to make a.
He can just have his defense. And you know, Kevin O'Connell probably just gives him the keys to just do.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I trust you. You got it.
He's cooking the lab, do whatever he wants to do. It's awesome.
And that allows Kevin O'Connell to stay in his lab and just focus on the offense.
It's great.
Which is awesome. Again, going back to coaching, I think that's probably a big theme for week one. Just Kevin O'Connell and Brian Flores, yeah, like you said, all preseason and camp and all offseason to scan for to plan for the Bears, not just week one, but also twice a year. I think this was some pretty easy money, especially at 1.5.
Caleb Williams is gonna be running for his life.
Absolutely. All right. I would love to see it. I would love to see it.
Although they did improve the interior of their offensive line, they have Braxton Jones at left tackle, and he's god awful. And Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkle are gonna feast on that.
I need Andrew Van Ginkle to not be like a stat guy and just be like a really awesome glue guy for you guys, you know?
Yeah, for the Vikings, not for fantasy purposes at all. Yeah, no.
He's like drawing up the double team so everyone else is like stacking your quarterback, just not him, you know what I'm saying?
Here's a prediction, man. He's going to get a pick this game. You know what? I'll take it further. He's going to get a pick six. Pick six.
You should at least sprinkle like 50 cents on that. For him to have an interception, not even the pick six, just an interception. Because I bet the odds are so good if you bet just like 50 cents. If he does, and you're right, that's probably going to be at least like $10 for 50 cents, honestly.
Yeah, he's going to snag one.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a free prop bet there from Brady.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of that. So we're going to wrap this up with our pick a card real quickly. I'm going to grab a random card here. We got Brian Mitchell, running back for the Buccaneers. Or the Redskins. Okay, that's the Buccaneers. That's just trying to. He was for the Redskins right here. All right.
Brian Mitchell. Okay. Oh, that's an old school running back.
Yeah, yeah. All these cards are old school.
Was that a 90s player?
That's kind of what I'm trying to do with the thing. Is like it's. This old card collection is probably never going to get anything done with it. Yeah. Pull some random dudes out. You never know. You might find a gem. You might find something interesting or whatever.
What was his playing career?
What's that?
What was his playing career?
All it's showing here is just his rookie year. So I don't know if it's his rookie card. Here in the corner it says 96. And I thought that was like the year it came out. But the stat here is from 1994. So I don't know if he just played a rookie year. All right, let's read his little bio here. Brian enjoyed a memorable 94 and set an NFL record for combined punt and kickoff return yardage, 1,930 yards. An all-purpose guy who does everything well. He led the league in punt returns, 14.1 average. I'm guessing they're talking about yards. Taking two back for a touchdown against the Saints and the Rams that year in 1994. Played all 16 games, and rushing, he had 311 yards, averaged 4 yards per carry. Did have 4 fumbles, though. Receiving, he had 26 catches for 236 yards and a touchdown. He did not have a rushing touchdown. And it's looking like that's his career. I'm not seeing anything else. Maybe he got cut that year and just never caught on anywhere else.
You know, he sounds like a gadget guy in today's NFL. He probably would have thrived more.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. I don't know anything about this guy. I'd have to do more research on him. But
absolutely. That's, I mean, cool. That's the whole point in this, is just like bringing attention. And honestly, I'm going to try to remember to look for these dudes like on X and just maybe clip it out and just kind of show and be like, hey, bro, like someone remembers you playing. Well, not remembers you, but is learning about you anyway. So at least that's
yeah.
Yeah, he went to Southwestern LA College, so not a big school either.
That must be like Division II.
Yeah, he's Division old.
Three, now. Maybe. He's
1968 is when he was born. That's a year older than my uncle.
Oh, yeah, he's like 57.
Yeah, he's pushing 60.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah.
That's 90s ain't that far away, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's. Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear.
Yeah, dude.
All right. Well, oh, yeah, good shit. Didn't get any live listeners tonight. That's all right. No big deal. Podcast listeners, please don't forget to like and subscribe. Spread the good word. Help some brothers out. We will get Reed's picks in, and I will add them in right after this audio before we wrap it up real quick and get you an official ZBR parlay. Hopefully including those two spreads that me and Brady were talking about. I would really like to include those. Those seem like some really easy money. But other than that, I think for Brady, I think we're going to go ahead and sign off, and we'll talk to you soon. See ya.
All right. See you, man.
Shitbag lizard people.
My bro's QB2 is Aiden O'Connell.
Fuck Sean Payton.
Actually, when you add up the pick value, when you crunch numbers, who the fuck's Jeff?
All right, guys, we got Reed's picks in. So the ZBR parlay is, this is all money line, by the way, the Arizona Cardinals, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Eagles, the Steelers, the Bucks, the Broncos, the Ravens, and then the Vikings to cover 1.5. That is the ZBR parlay. That is plus 3,384, 10 bucks. Would get you $338. Not a bad parlay. Not the craziest thing I've ever seen. Certainly not the most sure thing I've ever seen either. But let's cash it either way. See you guys.